Last week we talked about Joseph and all the struggles that he went through, and he never, ever compromised himself with whatever he went through. He kept his positive when his brothers sold him into slavery, when he was lied about in Potiphar's wife, when they forgot him in prison, and God blessed him. He was a administrator. He took charge wherever he did, and that was something that God blessed him with. And then he was called out of prison and became the second in command in all of Egypt at that time. So God blessed him, and the main thing was to God put Joseph where he was so that the children of Israel would have some place to go during that famine. So now they are in Egypt. Jacob's fixing to die, and he's going to put the blessing on his firstborn, or the main one. And remember, God is not one that does things like we think he ought to do. He blessed Jacob, and Jacob was the second born. He blessed Isaac, and Isaac was Abraham's second born. So Reuben, somebody in Gad, Levi. That was the first three boys of Jacob. And because of their sin, and we kind of mentioned it a few weeks ago, they defended their sister Dinah and killed some people. Because of their sin, God did not allow the blessing to go to those three boys. And so the next one in line was who? Who do you think got the blessing? Who do we know that Jesus came through that line? Judah, the Lion of Judah. Jacob blessed Judah and gave him the blessing. And the line of Jesus Christ will come through the line of Judah. So as we go through this, through the Bible, and through how we will go all the way up to Jesus, we will see that there is a line that the blessing will go in that through the tribe of Judah now. And what's unique is which wife of Judah is, hello? Is God calling you Jacob? Happy birthday to you. Sorry, Jacob. Ooh, it is hot in here. I don't know about you. I'm so hot. David says that too, but that's okay. I'm sorry. If I get through this lesson today, it'll be a surprise. Whew. Anyway, I forget even where I was at. Oh, the wife of Judah. What line did Jesus come? Which wife? Can anybody tell me? It was a Gentile lady. Wasn't even a Jew. It wasn't even the part of the children. Her name was Tamar. And Tamar, the line will come. That's through her, and she's one of the few women that is mentioned in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So, I'm not going to even go through that interesting story again. We already talked about it. Anyway, if you want to know about Tamar and Judah, read it in the Bible. Remember, the Bible is a very interesting book, and it has all sorts of things in there. Anyway, we will now go to Moses. The next one and that we're going to study about today is Moses. And Moses' name means to draw out. His mom and dad, his dad was Amram, his mom was Jochebed. And to give you a little bit of story before that, It has now been about 300 years since Jacob died and Moses is born. So there's 300 years has come to pass. They have been in the land of Goshen. They're in Egypt. The children of Israel have been. And God has blessed them. They have multiplied. They have grown. Their cattle has grown. Everything that they do is God blesses them. And they're huge. There's a million Jews in the land of Goshen right next to Egypt. And it says in the first of Exodus, if that's where we're studying, starting out today, is Exodus. And the whole book of Exodus is going to be about Moses and how that the children of Israel will get back to the promised land. And it talks about in verse number 4, it says, "Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." So all the pharaohs, some of the pharaohs remembered Joseph through their writings in the Egyptian writings. But this new king, this new pharaoh, did not know of Joseph. And so when he looked out and said, it says, "And he said to his people, 'Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto enemies and fight against us. So get them out of the land.'" So they become a hated people now. They become the Egyptians become their taskmasters. They start making the Jews build the pyramids, to do all their work, and they become very hard tasked against them. They become very oppressed, and so they begin to cry out to God. And God hears their voice. But in between time, because of the Egyptians hating the Jews, they've decided that they're going to kill all the boys, all the little baby boys that are born. They're to be killed. The midwives were to, if there's a girl, they were supposed to let it live. If it was a boy, they were to kill it. So there was many midwives that feared God and did not do that. And Jochebed was one of those women that the midwife did not kill Moses when he was born. So they tried to hide him for as long as they could. And then he started growing. And, you know, you can't keep a baby quiet. Never can you. If you want a baby to be quiet, they're not going to be quiet. They're going to cry and cry and cry. And so Moses became big enough that he was hard to keep him quiet. So they decided to do what? What did Jochebed and Amram do with Moses? Put him in a basket, put him in the Nile River. Has anybody ever seen the Nile River? It's in this. Is it big? Can you? And it's full of crocodiles, like the cartoon of the story is. I don't know. Anyway, Jochebed puts him in the river in the basket, and Moses was the baby, so he had two siblings. He had Miriam, and he had Aaron, and Miriam was supposed to watch and make sure Moses is okay. And the way God wanted it, he started floating, and he floated right to the palace. right at the time when the queen or the princess was going to take a bath, and she sees this little baby boy in the basket, and she decides that she's going to keep him. Now, how do you know She knows that was a little Israeli boy. Anybody tell me? And if you tell me, I will give you a candy bar. Circumcised! Throw carrots. I'm sorry. So this side over here better start answering questions, because I bet you would take a carrot. You'd take a candy bar, wouldn't you? Anyway, because of his circumcision, they knew that was a little Egyptian boy. When I was reading that, I'm thinking, you know, was the Prince of Egypt that Disney made, and Moses didn't know who he was. He thought they portrayed that he thought he was part of the Pharaoh's household. He should have known. He should have known that he was a little Hebrew boy. So anyway, and what's so unique about the story is whenever the princess saw him, and she goes, well, I need to find somebody. I need a nursemaid to take care of this baby. And Miriam jumps out and says, I know somebody. And so all those years, his own mama gets to take care of him, which is great. So he grows up living in the household of Pharaoh. And so he kind of distances himself, I guess, from his family. But when he was 40 years old, Moses' life can be divided into three 40-year periods, okay? 40 years he lived in the palace of Pharaoh. 40 years he lived in the backside of the desert, running from God. And then 40 years he will spend getting the Israelites out of bondage and then trying to get them to the promised land. After his first 40 years, he will identify himself with Israel. And he will flee from Pharaoh because he did what? What did Moses do? He killed an Egyptian. And so he was kind of, the Israelites were kind of afraid of him, because if they protected him, they would be in trouble. And the Egyptians were after him for killing a soldier. So he hightails it and runs. He goes to the backside of the desert. He becomes a shepherd. He takes care of the sheep for eventually his father-in-law. And he marries a Gentile lady. And then has a couple of sons. But he will be in the backside of the desert when he gets his call from God. When God calls him, God will do it in a very miraculous way. Do you know what he did? Burning bush. Do you want a candy bar? Do you want a candy bar? Anyway, God will talk to him through a burning bush that never burns up. And he tells Moses, he says, I want you to free my people. I want you to go and get the children of Israel out of Egypt. Take them to the promised land. And what does Moses say? Not me. Not me. Moses will give God four excuses for not going and doing what God asked him to do. His first excuse is in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, and he says, who am I that I should go? Have you ever said that to God? God tells you to do something, and you say, who am I? I am a nobody. I can't do this. They're not going, you know, no, no, who am I? I'm not going to do it. And God's answer was in verse 12, he says, I will be with you. And so he got, okay, he answered that one. He took that one off of my list. What do I do now? He says, they'll say to me, what is your name? Who shall I say unto them you are? And I love this answer. This in verse 14, he says, God is the great I am. Tell him that I am sent you. The am that I am. You go. You tell that I'm the one that created this world. I'm the one that created you. I am the one. Yes, Garland. Amen. That's right. It was Jesus doing that. So he says, okay. He answered that one for me. Okay. And his third excuse is in Exodus 4:1. It says, they will not believe me. What do I do? Have you ever said that to God? They're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe what I said. Maybe you, in your heart, you say, I've not been living the way I'm supposed to. And I ask somebody to come to church, and they're going to say, I don't believe you go to church. Or, you know, just they're not going to, in this world nowadays, there's no God. Why should I go to church? But God gives him the answer, and it says, what is in thy hand? And God will use a rod and the sign of leprosy on Moses' hand. So Moses had a rod. And what does he do with that rod? What does God tell Moses to do with that rod? Especially when he goes in front of Pharaoh. He throws it down, and what does it become? A snake. Robert. Does anybody know about Robert that he did have a pet rattlesnake? He was old, so he was slow, apparently, huh? He gave it baths. So that meant he had to touch it? And he's thinking about getting another one, right? And I think, from what I heard, he's thinking he's going to get a viper. A what? A gaboom. Well, any snake is a dead snake to me. No. I could understand why. Because they have to put on there. Reptile. Anyway, he threw the rod down and it became a snake. That would have been the good part. Okay? But picking that sucker back up, you know, reaching down and taking its tail and it became a rod again, and oof. That would be the tough part with me. Because like I said, any dead snake, I can hurt myself when I see a dead snake. You know, so. But anyway, and then God tells Moses to put his hand in his sleeve or his jacket. And when he pulled it out, his hand was leprosy. And remember back in the Bible, leprosy, you get leprosy and your night days are numbered. And he put his hand back in. God told him to, and it came back healed and clean. And then his fourth excuse was in verse number 10 of chapter 4. It says, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Just like Garland said, he stuttered. Either that or he talked really slow. But anyway, God says, who hath made your mouth? God said, I can take care of this mouth. Therefore, go and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what to say in verses 11 and 12. Moses still would not let that one go. He hung on to that one. And finally, God selected Aaron, Moses' brother, to be his spokesman. And so all the excuses that Moses gave to God, God took care of them. He says, I want you to go and do my will. This is your calling. This is what I want you to do. So, what does that teach us when God calls us to do something? When God puts that desire in your heart, when he tells you in that still, quiet voice at nighttime, you need to pray for somebody, or you need to witness to somebody, and you say, no, God, I can't do that. God says, you can do it. I have faith in you. I'll be there beside you. I'll tell you what to say. Even though you may think you may flub it and not say the right words, whatever you say, if God's in it, it will hit the heart of that person. And you may not see the results, but God used you to plant the seed. So, Moses will go back to Pharaoh, and he will tell Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. And Pharaoh laughed at him. No way. I'm not letting them go. If I let them go, then we'd have to go back to work. Then I'd have a riot with the Egyptians because they don't want to work. And he said in verse number 2 of chapter 5, he says, who is this Lord? Who is this? He, even back then, there was agnosticism back then. The belief that there is not a God. We are our own gods. But Pharaoh calls the work on the Hebrew, the children of Israel, to multiply. And it made them very unhappy because they were now getting to have to work and all. In chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 in Exodus. Verses 6 through 8. There is seven I wills. And it says, wherefore say you unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And he's telling them to go to the children of Israel and say, I'm fixing to get you out of this place. He says, I will bring you out of from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of the bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Moses told the children of Israel, this is what God's going to do for you. You've just got to believe that you're going to be taken care of. And we could read these things too and put our name in there that God's telling us to do. He's going to take us. He's going to bring us out from the burdens of this world. He's going to rid us of bondage. He's going to redeem you with his outstretched arm. What a perfect picture of Jesus Christ. I will take you for a people. I will be your God. I will be bring you into the land. What promised land do we have to look forward to, people? This is not it. One of these days, we're out of this place, and we're going to be with God. And I will give it to you for a heritage. God is going to give all those things and is doing those things for us as well. Anyway, he will take the children and Israel out of the land of Egypt, but before he does that, of course, you know about the plagues. There was 10 plagues that God will do to the children of Israel. The first one, he'll turn the water into blood. And some of these will touch the comfort of the Egyptians. They were comfortable with what they were doing. So he will touch their comfort. And what's funny is every one of these plagues defeated one of Egyptians' gods. The Egyptians believed in so many gods. So when he turned the water into blood, the Nile River into blood, he was affecting their Nile god, which is Osiris. Then the frogs came, and it affected Heka, the frog goddess. Then the lice came, and it affected their earth god, Geb. Then the flies came, and it affected their beetle god, Kephira. And then number five, all the cattle will die, and it'll affect their cattle god, Apis. Can you believe how many gods they have? And then the boils will now touch to come on the people, and it'll affect their physical god, Typhon. And then the hail will come and destroy everything that they have, and it will affect their air god, Isis. That sounds funny, doesn't it? Isis. And then the locusts will come and eat up everything, and it'll affect their insect god, Cephas. I'm really boogering all these names up, I tell you. They'd kick me out of Egypt, I tell you. Then the darkness come. To me, that would be the worst. I hate dark. In the middle of the night, I hear something fall in somewhere in the house. Oh, man. I get up and make sure my door's locked. I hate dark. You know, bad things come out when it's dark. Anyway, it affected their sun god, Ra. And then the last thing, the death came of all the firstborn baby boys of the Egyptians, and it affected all their false gods. So God, Jesus had a purpose in all the plagues that were there, and it was to let Pharaoh know he was the I Am. He was the true God. So they will take and get the Egyptians, the children of Israel, out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea miraculously, and then go towards the Promised Land. And of course, it took them 40 years to go. How many miles? 30, 40, 50 miles, something like that. It took them 40 years. Must have. There was no road signs out there for AAA to help them. That was it. Yeah. So, lessons we can learn is God selects and elects those who are to be his leaders in every generation. And people, if God has given you a job to do in this generation, you better do it, or we'll lose a generation. Number two, the Lord will sometimes place us in the backside of the desert to teach us his will and patience right before he has that job for us to do. Number three, the Lord calls all of those who have accepted him to a place of service, regardless of how small or how great. And all of us in our carnal nature will offer excuses to the Lord, just as Moses did when he was called. Number five, in God's own time, he always has a way out for his people. And then number six, the Lord provides only what we need and all we need to do his work. So a lot of things to learn from Moses. A great individual. In fact, the children of Israel, once they in a way almost worshiped Moses. Moses will die. No, Moses will know the day he's going to die, because when they were going to cross into the Promised Land, God told Moses he could not go. Does anybody know the reason why Moses could not go into the Promised Land? He struck the rock. He disobeyed God. God told him to speak to the rock and the water would come out. and he struck the rock instead. He disobeyed God, and so God told him he could not enter the promised land, but he got to see the promised land. God took him up on the mountain, let him see the promised land, and on that day he died. And it said God buried him. Can you just picture it? God picking him up, his great servant, gently taking him and putting him in the grave, covering him up, and then said, all right, Moses, let's go back. Let's go to heaven. So on that day, he saw the promised land here on earth, and he saw the promised land in heaven. Woo. So anyway, when times get tough, remember what Moses went through, and you can make it. Anybody else on Moses? All right. Mr. Craig, would you dismiss us?